Janavala Bhagiri Varadadi. Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadadi. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachati. Yamuna Tira Vanachati. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Continued. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us, Shrimad Bhagavatam discussion. Hopefully, with your blessings, we'll be able to discuss something of value as a note. I don't consider myself realized in the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, so whatever you hear, take at your own risk. We'll try to explore some topics. Reading today from the 9th canto, chapter 4, text 28. Excuse me, 29. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text 29. Ariradhaishu krishnam mahishyatu yashilaya Yukta Samvatsaram Viro Dadhara Dvadashi Vratam Ariradhaishu Krishnam Mahishya Tulyashilaya Yukta Samvatsaram Viro Dadhara Dvadashi Vratam Ariradhaishu Krishna Mahishya Turyashilaya Yukta Samvatsaram Viro Tadhara Dvadashi Vrita. Please chant. Aishu, aspiring to worship Krishnam, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Mahishya, with his queen, Tulyashilaya, who is equally as qualified as Maharaj Ambarish, Yuktaha, together. Samvatsaram, for 1 year. Vira, the king, Dadhara, accepted. Dvadasi Vratam, the vow for observing Ekadasi and Dvadasi. Translation purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, to worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who is equally qualified, observe the vow of Ekadashi and Dvadasi for 1 year. Purport, to observe Ekadashi Vrata and Dvadasi Vrata means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadashi Vrata regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Shilaya is significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Janaka Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprast or sannyasi. Mata yasya grihe nasti bharya cha priyavadini aranyam tena gantavyam yataranyam tata griham. A person who has no mother at home and whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest. Because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only, one's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need of household life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanan pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare 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 Krishna. Thank you all for joining us today. Somewhat of a short verse and purport here. The glories of Ambarish Maharaj, who we consider great Vaishnav, has actually achieved the position of a Vaishnav who has learned how to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of our endeavors in devotional life are meant to actually satisfy the Lord. And one who attains that position, he becomes Vaishnav, one who is dear to Lord Vishnu. So we're all on the path of trying to develop that position. And that requires a lot of things, including a sufficient degree of purity and adherence to what the Lord's instructions are, what are the principles of Dharma. And we have this great opportunity coming to Krishna Consciousness Movement because Srila Prabhupada has provided us with a very specific process in the age of Kali. But it also necessitates a very deep degree of internal purification to get the results of that. We may be doing Sankirtan and doing service associating with devotees, these five angas of bhakti, but we may not be actually relishing or experiencing that real gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. So why is that? That may be because we are not sufficiently to the standard that the Lord is desiring us to come to. In Kali Yuga, we're coming from such degraded backgrounds, such completely fallen circumstances of life, actually. You think any of these characters in Bhagavatam, when they hear about Kali Yuga, they just shudder. The great sages, they think, oh, this iron age of Kali. Payanal payu shashrabhya kalo asmin yugejna manda manda sumateyo manda bhagya upadrit. This is the iron age. This is the most degraded age. They're short-lived, quarrelsome, misguided. You can see how pervasive the degradation, very soon after Krishna's departure, very quick, rampant irreligion, adharma. So this is our, in one sense, at the present moment, for some of us, a disqualification that we're very much entwined and we're conditioned, we're a product of, in one sense, irreligion. Many of us, Krishna says, a papa yoni, taking birth in certain situations wherein principles of Dharma were not being actually followed according to the standard of Vaishnava culture or Vishnu worship. So we have this deep knot in our heart. We have this black, we have these deep anarthas in the core of our heart. At the same time, we're approaching the Lord and we're trying to receive that mercy. We want that light to shine through, but there's a lot of obstacles, a lot of filters there. So obviously, through continuing bhakti, we become purified, but we also need to endeavor to actually recognize and remove these types of contamination in the heart. So Ambarish Maharaj is saying here he worshipped Lord Krishna. For 1 year he observed the Ekadasi and Dvadasi Vrata. So I thought we might talk a little bit about the Ekadasi, because it's something that should not be, but sometimes things take place as rituals in our spiritual or religious culture. So Ekadasi is a very sacred day, but we have some newer devotees here and we may not be actually aware of what is Ekadasi, why is Ekadasi sacred, why do we fast on Ekadasi. So there's many publications, there's even books regarding the glories of Ekadasi. But to begin with, I thought I might share a description that comes from the Padma Purana. And this will give us a little bit of understanding of Ekadasi, and at the same time, it will allow us to kind of recognize and ideally endeavor to purify us from the anarthas that are within. So just bear with me, it's a little bit, it's not very long, but sometimes reading in a class, so try to bear with me here. Once the great sage Jaimini Rishi said to his spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva, "O Gurudev, previously by your mercy you described to me the glories of the Ganga, the benefits of worshipping Vishnu, the giving of grains in charity, the giving of water in charity, and the magnanimity of drinking the water that has washed the feet of the Brahmins. O best of the sages, Sri Gurudev, now with great enthusiasm, I desire to hear the benefits of fasting on Ekadasi and the appearance of Ekadasi. O Gurudev, when did Ekadasi take birth and from whom did she appear? What are the rules of fasting on Ekadasi?" Srila Vyasadeva, upon hearing this inquiry of Jaimini Rishi, became situated in transcendental bliss. "O Brahmana sage Jaimini, the results of following Ekadasi can only be perfectly described by the Supreme Lord Narayan, because Sri Narayan is the only personality capable of describing them in full, but I will give a very brief description to your answer. At the beginning of the material creation, the Supreme Lord created the moving and non-moving beings within this world made of five gross material elements. Simultaneously, for the purpose of punishing the human beings, he created a personality whose form was the embodiment of sin, the Papa Purusha. The different limbs of this personality were constructed of the various sinful activities. His head was made of the sin of murdering a Brahmin. His two eyes were the form of the sin of drinking intoxicants. His mouth was made of the sin of stealing gold. His ears were the form of the sin of having illicit connection with the spiritual master's wife. His nose was the sin of killing one's wife. His arms were the sin of killing a cow. His neck made of the sin of stealing accumulated wealth. His chest, the sin of abortion. His lower chest, the sin of having sex with another's wife. His stomach, the sin of killing one's relatives. His navel of the sin of killing those who are dependent on him. His waist of the sin of self-appraisal. His thighs of offending the guru. His genital, the sin of selling one's daughter. His buttocks, the sin of selling telling confidential matters. His feet, the sin of killing one's father, and his hair, the form of lesser, less severe sinful activities. In this way, a horrible personality embodying all the sinful activities and vices was created. His eyes are yellow. He inflicts extreme misery upon sinful persons. So these are the reactions personified to these sinful activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, upon seeing this personality of sin, began to think of himself as follows. I am the creator of the miseries and happiness. I am their master because I have created this personality of sin who gives distress to all dishonest, deceitful, and sinful persons. Now I must create someone who will control this personality. At this time, Sri Bhagavan created the personality known as Yamaraj in the different hellish planetary systems. Those living entities who are very sinful will be sent after death to Yamaraj, who, according to their sins, send them to a hellish region to suffer. So as you can see, this is a little bit heavy. Maybe you weren't expecting. But it's very purifying. After these adjustments had been made, the Supreme Lord, who is the giver of distress and happiness, went to the house of Yamaraj. When Yamaraj saw Lord Vishnu had arrived, he immediately washed his feet and made an offering unto them. The Supreme Lord heard... Okay. Yamaraj says, O Deva... Srila Vyasadeva continued. Just listen to what the Supreme Lord did next. After the merciful Supreme Lord thought over what he had previously considered, he suddenly manifested from his own form the deity of the lunar day Ekadashi. After the different sinful living entities began to follow the vow of Ekadashi and were then elevated quickly to the abode of Vaikuntha, O my child Jaimini, therefore the lunar day of Ekadashi is the self-same form of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and the supersoul within the heart of all living entities. Sri Ekadashi is the utmost pious activity and is situated as the head among all vows. Following the ascension of Sri Ekadashi, that personality who is the form of sinful activity gradually saw the influence she had. He approached Lord Vishnu with doubts in his heart and began to offer prayers. And the Supreme Lord asked, What boon is it you want? The Papa Purush replied, I am your created progeny. It's through me that you wanted to give distress to the living entities who are very sinful. But now, by the influence of Sri Ekadashi, I have become all but destroyed. O Prabhu, after I die, all your parts and parcels who have accepted material bodies will become liberated, and therefore return to the abode of Vaikuntha. If this liberation of all living entities takes place, who will carry on your activities? There will be no one to enact the pastimes in your earthly planetary systems. No pious activity can bind me, but Ekadashi only, being your own manifested form, can impede me. Out of fear of Sri Ekadashi, I have fled and taken shelter of men, animals, insects, hills, trees, moving and non-moving living entities, rivers, oceans, forests, etc. I cannot find a place where I can be free from the fear of Sri Ekadashi. O my master, I am a product of your creation, so therefore, very mercifully direct me to a place where I can reside fearlessly. And then Lord Vishnu tells him, Just listen, I'll tell you where you can stay on the propitious lunar day of Ekadashi. On the day of Ekadashi, you can take shelter of foodstuff in the form of grains. There is no reason to worry about this anymore. My form of Sri Ekadashi Devi will no longer impede you. Therefore, those who are serious about the ultimate benefit of the soul should never eat grains on Ekadashi Tithi. According to the instructions of Lord Vishnu, every kind of sinful activity that can be found in the material world takes its residence in this place of foodstuff, grain. Whoever follows Ekadashi is freed from all sins and never enters into hellish regions. If one doesn't follow Ekadashi because of illusion, he is considered the utmost sinner. It is definitely necessary that one give up eating grains on Ekadashi. I very strongly say again, on Ekadashi, don't eat grains, don't eat grains, don't eat grains. Whether one be a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or of any family, he should follow the lunar day of Ekadashi. From this perfection, Varna and Ashram will be attained. Especially since even if by trickery one follows Ekadashi, all of his sin become destroyed and very easily attains the supreme goal, the abode of Vaikuntha. And we know that on all these different Ekadashis, there are various pastimes mentioned also in the Shastra. The particular pastimes, Yudhishthira Maharaj asking Krishna, and Krishna himself is explaining these different benedictions are there. But the idea of hearing this is that we are all suffering due to reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, our ability to really take shelter of bhakti is repeated to a certain degree. We know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, Yesham tantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajate mam tridavrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion. Though many of us are still sunk in the quagmire of delusion, of duality, identification with the body, identification with like and dislike, and these are all symptomatic of one who is still suffering the reactions of karma or sinful activity. But persons who are free from sinful activities engage themselves in my service with determination. So this is the purport that Prabhupada says. Those eligible for liberation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to understand the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. From the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. So the first step in achieving deeper levels of purification is to recognize within ourselves, within our hearts, that these enemies are lying there. Deceit, you know, crookedness, desire for prestige. As long as we just overlook the enemy, then the enemy remains undetected, right? But by associating with great devotees, by Krishna's mercy, we're able to take notice, actually notice these deeper degrees of anarthas that are residing within the heart. And by that, we can humbly approach Gaur Nitai in the Lord, and he will provide all facility, actually, to help us get free. Because only until we really get free from these anarthas can we actually approach the Supreme Lord, can we actually be engaged in real bhakti, real devotion. We're still on the Abbas, many of us, on the Abbas platform. I want to be a devotee. I want to practice bhakti. But as of right now, bhakti is not a cheap thing. But to realize God, it's not a cheap thing. It's not that I can just, in a few years, I can just become samadhi realized, perfected Paramahamsa. Rather, but at the same time in Kali Yuga, it's possible. But the idea is that intense purification, intense abhorrence of all sinful or, you know, duplicitous tendencies has to be achieved. This is the state that's called anartha nivritti. We have to recognize what's lying dormant within us and actually endeavor to remove that. You may recall in the fourth canto, eighth chapter, the beginning of Dhruva Maharaj, also a beautiful description there that is said, I believe Maitreya is saying, "My dear Vidura, I have summarily explained the cause of devastation. One who hears this description three times attains piety and washes the sinful contamination from his soul." So I'll just read it one time. You can read it two more times if you like, if you want to wash the sinful contamination from your soul. The great sage Maitreya said, "The four great Kumaras, sages, headed by Sanaka, as well as Nanda, Ribhu, Hansa, Aruni, and Yati, all sons of Brahma, did not live at home, but became Urdhvareta, or Naistika Brahmacharis, unadulterated celibates. Another son of Lord Brahma was irreligion, whose wife's name was Falsity. From their combination were born the two demons named Dumba, or bluffing, and Maya, or cheating. These two demons were taken by a demon named Niriti, who had no children.
Maitreya told Vidura, O great soul, from Dumba and Maya were born greed and Nikriti, or cunning. From their combination came children named Krodha, anger, and Hingsha, envy. And from their combination were born Kali and his sister Durukti, harsh speech. O greatest of all good men, by the combination of Kali and harsh speech were born children named Mrityu, death, and Bhiti, fear. From the combination of Mrityu and Bhiti came children named Yatana, excessive pain, and Naraya, hell. So in our Vedic understanding, actually, everything is presided by personality. So here we're hearing irreligion, falsity, Maya, bluffing. These are actually personalities, just like the age of Kali is a person. So these are personalities, and when we succumb to them out of our original aversion to obedience to God, that's how we find ourselves in this material world. We have to acknowledge that, right? We have to repent. That's one of the initial prerequisites for initiation, that one actually does tapa, regret, how I've actually turned away. We have to actually acknowledge that. And then what we've done is we've given shelter of these personalities, these sinful, we've given them shelter in our heart. So they're there. Duplicity, cheating, bluffing, all these things, they are obstacles. Krishna in the core of the heart can't be awakened until they're cast out, actually. Like Lord Chaitanya, he told, I think Ramachandra Puri, as far as I remember the name, he said, your heart is a sacred place. This is Krishna's world. How have you allowed these things to enter? Like jealousy and envy. So here we're hearing, okay, this is the purport. The creation takes place on the basis of goodness, but devastation takes place because of irreligion. That is the way of material creation and devastation. Here it is stated that this cause of devastation is adharma, or irreligion. The descendants of irreligion and falsity, born one after the other, are bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, harsh speech, death, fear, severe pain, and hell. So those are actually personalities. All these descendants are described as signs of devastation. If a person is pious and hears about these causes of devastation, he will feel hatred for all of these, and that will cause his advancement in a life of piety. Piety refers to the process of cleansing the heart. As recommended by Lord Chaitanya, one has to cleanse the dust from the mirror of the mind, and then advancement on the path of liberation begins. Here also the same process is recommended. Mala means contamination. We should learn to despise all the causes of devastation, beginning from irreligion and cheating, and then we should be able to make advancement in a life of piety. The possibility of our attaining Krishna consciousness will be easier, and we shall not be subjected to repeated devastation. The present life is repeated birth and death, but if we seek the path of liberation, we may be saved from repeated suffering. So the advantage to hearing these things, although it may not be the most introductory, or, you know, it might not be the topics you might share with someone coming in the door for the first time, but actually it's very purifying. It's very purifying to understand. If you want to win a war, you have to know who the enemy is first. So we understand from the Shastra what is sin, what is piety, and then ultimately by practice of bhakti, we should be observing the removal of unwanted things, which allows the facility for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's mercy to more tangibly and actually manifest in our lives. In the way that they want it to. They want to give Krishna prema. But we have to do our work and prove that I really want to attain that. Come to the standard of real Vaishnav one day. So anyway, maybe I'll just see if there's any questions or anything before.
So. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. So we hear a lot of these unwanted things in the heart. But when I think I have two questions. But so when these unwanted what they call anarthas are when we have to remove them. You mentioned we have to consciously perceive them. How do we perceive these anarthas being removed?
How do you perceive them being removed?
Because it's a kind of esoteric concept of these personalities in the heart.
Well, don't worry about that. Like, you're going to see them like, bye, it was great hanging out, but now you're kicking me out. But actually, we all have a monitor of our own consciousness, right? On a daily basis, we monitor, okay, how am I doing? How am I feeling? What's my consciousness like today? How much am I being afflicted by duality? So the ideal is that we are making progress. Ideally, after one whole year, we can look back and think, okay, have I made some progress, or I'm still stuck here? Maybe I need to change this. Maybe I need to work on, I need to find that service. So we don't have to overanalyze it, but just on a day-to-day basis, we can perceive and we can see that things that we're struggling with, okay, I'm not being so harassed by that anymore. It's a gradual process, But we want to be becoming more and more freed from duality, from these big highs and lows, ups and downs, and this intense kind of attachment, especially to respect, being respected. Amanina manadina, that I need to be, okay, if you don't respect me, we have a problem. The Vaishnava is thinking, okay, you don't respect me, jai. You're helping me get free from false ego. Just like we were hearing this class of the Goswamis, this Digvijay Pandit, he came to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. He said, I'm defeating all the scholars here. Either debate with me or sign the certificate that I have defeated you. They said, yes, we will sign here. You're a great scholar. You are greater than us. No question. We'd be like, what? You're challenging? We'd probably have to go through the exercise of actually being defeated. But they could easily smash him. But they don't care. Why do they care? They don't even care about their reputation. He's taking the certificate saying, look, Rupa and Sanatan were defeated by me. I am much greater than them. They didn't care at all. For us, if something like, oh, the pain, the prestige, intolerable. We would track him down. And if we couldn't defeat him, we would try to fight him or kill him. But on their level, what do we care for? Prestige, society, that is all anartha. And that's what was mentioned in the last verse, that all these attachments, Maharaj Pariksit, he saw them as material and asat. This is not reality. Reality is the spiritual world. Why do we get so caught up in not reality, something that is not reality, something that is an illusion ultimately? So this is the process of purification when we're starting to distinguish more sat from asat. All of these things that occupy our intense concern and fears, they're based on the asat conception of life. So the more we hear from Bhagavatam and we direct our consciousness towards understanding that realm of reality, fine, I don't care. I'm wrong, or I'm in trouble. All these things, we have to get that strength, actually take spiritual strength to be able to tolerate the agitated mind and heart. So hopefully we'll get some gradual notice when they're departing. But in the beginning, that's the problem, is that we can't really tell. We can't notice that it's even there, like pride. You can't tell when you have pride. Other people can tell. They can see right away. But so therefore, you have to stay in association of devotees. They'll purify you, especially very advanced Vaishnavas. And don't be shy to get the mercy, to get the sauce, to get chastised. There's one quote that Prabhupada, I think, Bhaktisiddhanta said, advanced disciple, one who's always to be eager to be chastised by the spiritual one. Advanced student, one who's always eager to be ready to be chastised. So it's easy for us to do that with the guru, but with other devotees or the seniors, very difficult. Someone tells me to do something, but this is actually the training. The simple training, Krishna consciousness, means you get chastised. You get corrected. Because our whole existence here is I have free will. I do what I want. Someone is imposing a correction. I'm wrong and you're... That is humility. That's actually austerity. But that, we have to learn how to appreciate that. Okay, one more question.
Another question. So you mentioned that that we have to remove these anartas.
Yeah.
But I hear a lot that we can't do anything. It's only the mercy of the Vaishnava's guru.
We have to endeavor. The actual removal, that's actually, Krishna does that generally for the majority of the anartas. There are two anartas in Krishna's pastimes that are killed by Balaram, which we must continue, and actually Krishna will empower us to remove those. But the majority of the anartas, by carefully continuing in practice, Krishna will do the work. We have, our job is to show Krishna that I don't want to tolerate this dirty stuff anymore. I don't want to just accept it and go on with it. I want it taken out. We'll just take a question from Parm.
Hare Krishna. The lust and anger, it can be controlled by repeated practice. It can be to some extent. Yeah. But reputation and fame, the desire to get prestige and reputation is so bad and it's so subtle that you can't even see that what's going on in the other person's mind. It's so subtle. And then, for example, there's a story of a musician, and one person came to that musician to learn the music. So the first question the musician asked to that person, did you learn this music ever before? So it will that, why you ask me this question? And because if you have learned this music before, then I need to charge you more, because I need to make you forget what you learned. Because if you feel that you are learned, I'm learned, I know everything, I am perfect person, then you will never hear the instruction of anyone. You will be in your own cubby. But if you're open and honest, considering as foolish, that okay, I'm open, please chastise me, I'm over here to take everything, then that's open for you. Mercy will flow like anything. But are you ready? No, we're not. Are you?
This is a quote also we hear from Bhaktisiddhanta, that Vaishnavism is simplicity. So I'll just read one thing here. Chanaka Pandit has said, as a snake is very crooked and envious, so is a person, like a demon. One can bring a snake under control with mantras, herbs, and drugs, but an envious and crooked person cannot be brought under control by any means. In his purport to Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 9:19, Srila Prabhupada has written, such a crooked person is more dangerous, more envious, and cruel than a snake. Such crookedness, kapatya, is a great hindrance on the path of devotional service. All the acharyas, shastras, and mahajans have said, saralata e vaishnavata, simplicity is Vaishnavism. One who is a real Vaishnava is as simple as a child. It's from Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj. So, also the children, we can see how simple they are. Maharaj often makes reference to this, that they don't think they have any knowledge or anything like that, you know? And that simplicity is kind of what I'm trying to highlight here, that in the heart, that simplicity is that light, that purification, that, you know, I can admit my mistakes and faults and all these things, versus trying to always cover it over. That's the deceit and the duplicity and the hypocrisy and cunning. But the child, he just admits, he's so simple. That we can learn from there. And having knowledge also, it becomes an obstacle in the sense an impure heart is there because pride and all these things. So trying to cultivate this simplicity helps. We'll just let him finish because he has to go. Yeah, what?
Meeting that weakness and working thoroughly toward that weakness is a solution for Krishna consciousness. So stay longer.
Yeah, Krishna doesn't, he knows where we are. He doesn't, you know, for our sake really mind where we're at, but he wants us to be honest about it versus acting adharmically or irreligiously, trying to cover it over. That he doesn't accept. But okay, you're where you're at. Okay, just be honest, simple, and humble and try to progress. That's how we can get the mercy. Yeah. Thank you.
One comment, it's just a 5-second comment to add to this point. I asked the same question, Marcel Prabhu, to Srila Rupa Swami, how do I know when an anartha is removed? And one simple answer he gave was, put your finger in your bead bag and start chanting Hare Krishna and see where your mind goes.
Hare Krishna, Bhagavan, thank you for your class. Of course, my point is related to your point about Amani Namani Dena. All my points I kind of directed towards that, obviously. This verse talks about the vow of Kadashi. Now, forgive me for not organizing my thoughts, but my point is related to vows, not necessarily Kadashi, but the vow of Amani Namani Dena. During initiation, we don't take that vow to offer all respect to others. We fall. Offer vows to for regular principles, but so one thing, one observance I've noticed, maybe you could explain it, maybe it's a two-part question, that in chapter 2 verse 14 of the Gita, Krishna says, treat happiness and distress, honor and dishonor like winter, summer seasons, just tolerate, they come and go. And the reason I appreciate that is because when the weather's nice or the weather's not so nice, it's not that big of a deal. We don't say, you stupid weather. But when people change, sometimes people are jerks, some people are nice, but we don't treat them like the weather. We become so infuriated, like, you know, it's the same thing, it changes. And so this is how Maharaj Ambarish acted. So my question is related to the point that my first part question is that why is that? Is that Krishna clearly says, you know, we should treat friends and enemies the same, like the weather. And maybe you can answer that first. And,
yeah, that has to do with a deeper level of comprehension that everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. Mm-hmm. To see beyond the body and the mind, it's not easy. It's our whole philosophy. It's what we talk about every day. But then we see someone and we see them as their body and their mind. But when you actually see they're a part and parcel of Krishna, then there should be no friends and no enemies because they're all divine. They're all actually part of Krishna. Prabhupada says they're like small Krishnas. They're part and parcel. So Krishna is manifesting himself as the Jiva Tattva. So now I understand actually who I'm dealing with, what I'm dealing with, you know, ontologically, what is the other living entity. Then I want to be the well-wisher for them. I have to serve them in any circumstance of life. Either they're nice to me or they hate me. Anything. If I have that mode of goodness ability to stop before I react and just acknowledge who and what they are, then I can root for them. We should be rooting for everyone, all living entities. The problem is when we think in terms of my prestige or my ego, then it's the friends and enemies. But as you're saying, all the descriptions of the pure devotees or the sadhus, the sadhu doesn't have friends and enemies. No one is dear, no one is ever, yeah.
Thank you. That's my second question, but there's a particular verse I wanted to verify that confirms your answer about well-wishers. In the chapter of Bhagavatam, 5th canto, I forgot what chapter it is, but the chapter is called The Supreme Character of Jatabharata. That's the chapter where the dacoits tried to sacrifice Jatabharata, and then Mother Kali came out and protected him and slaughtered the dacoits. And then the last verse of that chapter says that, it's related to the verse yesterday, it says this, as long as one is a well-wisher of everyone and doesn't contemplate harming anyone, then one is always protected by the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra. Mm. And the reason I appreciate that is because in chapter 9, the end of the chapter 9 of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, he quotes the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says, there are 6 causes of degradation and fall down. I don't remember them all, but it says to strike a Vaishnava, to criticize a Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. And one of them is just to not be happy in his presence.
Yeah.
And the reason I appreciate it is because when we speak of vows, even chanting Hare Krishna is a vow, or Akadashi is a vow, but we never see anyone fall down because they didn't follow Akadashi or they was didn't chant their rounds. You usually fall down because you're not the well-wisher of everyone in mm-hmm. all circumstances. Mm-hmm. So how to come to that stage of making that personal vow for oneself. We don't make it an official vow during initiation, but we could see that if we want to maintain our Krishna consciousness, then it's essential to be a well-wisher of everyone, doesn't matter what they do to us or whether there's disagreements. So how to come to that stage? From my understanding, I usually pray about it because I know it's impossible. Mm-hmm. Please let me be a well-wisher because the laws of nature are so powerful. As soon as some disagreement, then immediately negative thoughts come in. So I found that praying beforehand, any circumstances helped me. So maybe you could expand on that point a little bit.
What was the quote you mentioned again?
This is the supreme character of Jalabhartha, the last verse of that chapter, you know, the dacoits and Mother Kali. The last verse says that one is always protected by the Lord Sudarshan Chakra if he is a well-wisher of everyone, doesn't contemplate hurting anyone. Mm-hmm. Of course, that means in minds also, body, mind, and words. Mm-hmm. So one is always protected by the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra if he never contemplates hurting anyone, is a well-wisher of everyone. So I appreciated that verse.
Yeah, I don't have too much to comment on that, but it's just kind of reemphasizing this principle of getting, as you said, praying and trying to get the spiritual vision. But we can see by the lives of great devotees also, by their character. You know, philosophy is one thing, but when you read about someone like Jetabard who actually did that, he actually lived that. You know, he's a self-realized, he's a Siddha devotee. And some dacoits are coming to sacrifice him to Kali. He didn't protest. That's like the epitome of, you know, detachment. He surrendered to Krishna. So when there's that shelter, protection, we feel Krishna's protection, relationship, then we don't have to endeavor extraneously. All these external things are chastising, correcting someone. You know, that's Krishna's department, you know. If we're surrendered to Krishna, then he'll take care of us, he'll protect us. So he's also mentioned as an example of simplicity. They said, come with us. He said, he just came. He didn't, because he was protected by Vishnu, by Krishna, by the Sudarshan Chakra. And then when Kali saw what was going to happen to such an advanced Vaishnava, she broke out of the deity. She manifests from the deity. She just annihilated all of the dacoits. So we can get inspiration that one is protected. And by hearing about these advanced devotees, then we can little by little try to gain faith in that. Yeah. Jai, thank you. Okay, a little bit more. Maybe last few words from Dimitri.
Why is it grains are prohibited? Can you remind us?
It's not stated why grains become the abode of that Papa Purusha. It could be different things, it could be anything. But Lord Vishnu decided, I'll give you shelter in the grains on Ekadasi day. So you have to ask Vishnu. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay.
I want to. There is a clarification that about Ramachandra Puri, you said. No, that is jealousy, you know. He was jealousy of Lord.
Please correct me, yeah. I said I wasn't totally sure, but maybe that's wrong name.
What actually I want to know whether is the same person, Ramachandra Puri, who was wearing the deer skin? Is it what is his name? I forgot.
I can't remember who. Said I'm not totally sure. I can't remember the exact name, so please don't I hope no one takes offense if I mentioned the wrong name, but I can't remember the name. Yeah. We will have to find out, do some research. Yeah.
Because that Lord, Ramachandra, what is his name? I forgot. Who was wearing the deer skin? Of course, later on, he showed a lot of respect for Lord Chaitanya. He was telling that to Lord Chaitanya that you are Chala Jagannath. He was praising Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya, because Jagannath usually doesn't move, but Lord Chaitanya, he's so merciful. Yeah, he was moving to Haridas Thakur. You remember that incident? So this, who was wearing the deer skin, Lord Chaitanya was trying to avoid him, you know, not to see him.
Yeah, I don't think that was Ramachandrapuri. It says Ramachandrapuri here criticizes the Lord.
Yeah, that's what I'm confused.
So that's who, in terms of the deer skin?
Maybe what is in Ramanuja or something.
I don't know. We'll have to check on that.
Yeah, sorry.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Brahmananda Parati.